Good morning. If you have been joining us for worship over the past several weeks, we have been in the middle of a sermon series called Free to Feel, Embodying the Emotions of Jesus. And so we started out by talking more about negative emotions that we experience, like anger or fear and grief. And we've recognized that through this past year that we have been apart in so many ways, we have had the full spectrum of emotions, right? Whether it's because of loss of being able to be together in person, or it's because of loss of someone that we know, or frustration with not knowing and not understanding what's going to happen next. But there's also been positive emotions that we've experienced too. And one that we're going to talk about today is joy. As we look at all of these emotions and we look at Scripture, one of the things that we recognize is Jesus experienced all of these emotions too. We looked at scenes in the biblical text when Jesus was angry, right? When he yelled at his friends or he turned over tables in the temple. We looked at experiences where he was grieving. The shortest verse in the Bible is Jesus wept, right? And then we looked at moments where he had fear and uncertainty, particularly before he was about to be crucified. But Jesus was also joyful in the biblical text. This series is based on a book by Peter Wallace. He's a pastor and an author of a website where they put sermons up for pastors to read. And when he talks about joy and how Jesus experiences joy and talks about joy, he says there's this historian, his name is Elton Trueblood, and he discovered that Jesus is often playful, even sarcastic, in the way that he preaches and teaches. And so he says that he and his wife were reading from Matthew chapter 7. And they were reading this with their four-year-old son. And that's the verse where it says, if you don't pick the speck out of your brother's eye when you have something in your eye too, right? And it says, suddenly their little boy started to laugh. He laughed because he saw how preposterous it would be for a man to be so deeply concerned about a speck in another person's eye that he was unconscious to the fact that he had something sticking in his own eye. And so he said, as he examined the scriptures, he found 30 passages in the Gospels that he finds humorous. And he talks about how the text where the camel going through the eye of the needle, how that is humorous. But he says, beyond the use of humor, Jesus reveals a joyful way for life to enter God's reign. That we shouldn't find happiness from the things of the world, but have our happiness come from God. And as we dive into our text for this morning, Jesus talks a whole lot about happiness. But it's not about finding happiness in the things of the world. It's about finding our happiness in the things that God provides. So this morning I want us to think about moments that bring us joy. If you're online this morning, you can type those in the comments so that we can share. But if you had to give examples, what brings you joy? Anybody?
Music.
Music, okay. Getting a call from your son, yes.
Grandkids,
yes. Kids.
People in the sanctuary.
People in the sanctuary this morning, definitely, definitely. There's all sorts of stuff that brings us joy. I imagine, you know, those moments in our lives, looking back, some of our most joyful moments are the moments when we had our kids or when we got married, right? Maybe when you got married, I don't know, or when you had kids. but so often in life, we try to find joy in places that don't necessarily bring us happiness long term. Whether it's in broken relationships, or maybe it's a pack of cookies at the end of the night, right? But God reminds us that joy is found in him and him alone. Our text for this morning comes from Matthew's gospel. And in this text, we get a large crowd that has gathered down by the shores of the Lake Galilee, or the Sea of Galilee, as it's called. But if you've ever gone and seen the Sea of Galilee, it really is a big lake. You can see from one side to the other. You can see if you're standing on one side, you can see the night lights of Tiberias shining in the night. And so Jesus took his 12 disciples up on this mountain, which really is more like a hillside. And there he was going to teach his disciples about the fundamentals of faith. And so he starts preaching this long sermon to them called the Sermon on the Mount. I'm sure you've heard it before. And Jesus teaches all sorts of things in the Sermon on the Mount. He teaches about prayer, about fasting. But Jesus starts with something important, very basic and very simple. He starts talking about happiness and the simplicities of what it means to be happy. And I would imagine that everyone gathered on that hillside, just as people who are gathered in sanctuaries across the globe today, are asking the question, what do I have to do to be happy? We want to experience joy, we want to experience happiness, especially when the world is as dark and crazy as it is. And so Jesus offers them this blueprint for happiness. If you, I invite you, if you're here in worship this morning, to stand. It is our tradition to stand as we read the gospel. We're going to be reading from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Jesus says this, Matthew says this. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then they began to speak, and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When we read this text, Jesus gives this litany of things where he says, "Blessed are you when." But if you read other translations of this passage from Matthew, instead of saying, "Blessed are you," other places say, "Happy are you." Have you seen that translation before? Instead of saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," he says, "Happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Happy are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Happy are the meek. Happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Happy are the merciful. Happy are the pure in heart." Now, when you read that, it doesn't really make sense. At least it doesn't for me, because I always wonder, how are the poor in spirit happy? How are those who mourn happy? Or those who are meek? Or those who are hungry? Because when I look in society, it appears that the happiest people are the most powerful people. The people who have the biggest houses or drive the nicest cars or who wear the nicest clothes. That's who seems to be happy. But Jesus gives us an alternative. Happy are the poor in spirit. Happy are those who mourn. Happy are the meek. Happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Happy are the merciful. Happy are the pure in heart. Happy are the peacemakers. Happy are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Now, if you know anything about Latin, which I don't know anything, so I had to Google this, but the word happiness is derived from the Latin word hap. And hap means haphazard. It refers to circumstances that are happy, right? So you're happy because of the external circumstances around you. I'm happy because it's my birthday. I'm happy because I received presents. I'm happy because I got a promotion at work. I'm happy today because I have food on the table. I'm happy because I got to sleep in. I'm happy because of something on the outside. But when Jesus preaches here in the Sermon on the Mount, the Greek word that the gospel authors record is not the Greek word for happiness. Instead, it's the Greek word for joy. The word that Jesus uses here is makaros, and I'm sure I butchered that if anyone who speaks Greek is listening. But the word that Jesus uses is joy, because happiness is dependent upon circumstance. And when Jesus preaches, he's saying, you are happy, you are blessed, you are joyful, despite the circumstance. Joy is not equivalent to what is happening around you. It does not rely on external circumstance. The only thing that joy relies on is the presence of God. It may seem counterintuitive, but you can be joyful and unhappy at the same time. You can be joyful and unhappy at the same time. You can be filled with the joy of the Spirit. You can rest in knowing who God is and who God has called you to be, and also be living in a really crappy circumstance. Not all things have to go perfect. How many of you have ever heard preached, if you give enough or do enough good, God will bless you and reward you and you will be happy, right? Or if something is wrong in your life, if you're having struggle or difficulty, that means you haven't been faithful enough to the gospel. That means something's wrong with you. God has not put God's favor upon you. You ever heard that before? Anyone? Some of you? I've heard it preached. Not in a Methodist church, but I've heard it preached in other churches. And I think that's totally bogus. Because our circumstances are not what causes joy. They're not what bring us true fulfillment. Rather, it is what Jesus offers for us. One of my favorite authors and speakers is Brené Brown. I've brought her up before. She's done several TED Talks. She has a TED Talk on Netflix. I would encourage you to watch it. But one of the things that she talks a whole lot about is vulnerability. And she says this: joy is the most vulnerable emotion that we can experience. And she goes on to describe moments that bring you joy, like watching your baby sleep, right? This is something that I've got to experience a whole lot of lately, just sitting and watching Naomi sleep because she's a really good sleeper. But as humans, we like to sabotage our own joy. And so I'll be watching her sleep and I'll be like, is she breathing, right? And then my mind will start to wander, well, I read this article on SIDS and how terrible it would be if this happened, right? Or we experience joy when we watch our kids play sports. And then we think, oh, well what if they get hurt? What if they tear something? What if they do something wrong, right? And we like to sabotage our own joy because we aren't vulnerable enough to let goodness flow. And so often we have rightful experience to have those negative thoughts come in, right? It's not just things that we imagine, because all of us at some point in our life have experienced pain and grief and loss. Anyone immune from pain and grief and loss? Not me. And so it makes sense that we would think when moments of pure joy happen, that something might go wrong. But if we're really vulnerable, if we open ourselves up to God entering in, that's when true joy occurs. The Beatitudes, the blessed are those, the happy are those, the joyful are those, are in so many ways about being vulnerable. Matthew says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are meek. When we are poor in spirit, when we are mourning and experiencing heart-wrenching grief, when we are meek and humble, we are at our most vulnerable point. And we're at a place where we can let God come in. When we want to experience true joy, we have to open ourselves to the fullness of the possibility of who God is and what God can do. We're all concerned about happiness. The disciples were concerned about happiness. The people that came to Jesus on that hillside on the Sea of Galilee, they were concerned about happiness too. But Jesus offers us something different. Instead of happiness, something that is based on our circumstance, God offers us the possibility of true joy. And that only comes when we lean in and trust on God. Let's pray. God, I give you thanks this morning for the call that you have placed on all of our lives. For this sermon that you offered to the disciples and to the people in your time and to us today, showing us what it means to be happy. God, to not lean on the things of the world, on our jobs, on our resources, but God, to fully live into who you are calling us to be. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.